Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in. It's our Tuesday edition of the show. We are glad to have you with us live from the Big X Studios here in Jeffersonville. And keep in mind, if you can't make it every day at 11 o'clock to be with us for this program about IU and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective, don't forget we're also available as a podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on SoundCloud as well. There are a number of ways that you can stay with us each and every day. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines, a look at the top IU and Southern Indiana sports news for this Tuesday. We've got Demezi Anderson. He's now official for Loyola, but added to their roster. I don't want to say for next season, but obviously will be part of the program. We'll have to sit out as the rules stand now and then rejoin the team for games the following year. So we've got that. We also have an IU takeover of sorts today on the Big Ten Network. So if you're looking for a way to pass some time here in this pandemic and you're still stuck in the house, we'll tell you a little bit about some of the programming that's scheduled today with an IU flavor all day long, starting at 6 a.m. this morning on the Big Ten Network. Also, I don't want to say more trouble, because I think we knew that eventually the notice of allegations would arrive, but more issues across the river for the UofL basketball team. And I feel a little different about the issues maybe now than I did when they initially came out, because you've got a whole new AD, a whole new coaching staff. I like Chris Mack. Obviously, he's a rival to Indiana for a lot of recruits. He's made his presence known in the state already, but a tough deal for him. We'll see how this plays out for UofL, and we'll talk about it some in our headline segment today, brought to you by Zaxby's. Then later in the show, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Greg is furloughing this week. He is off from the Indianapolis Star, but still going to be with us here on the Hoosier Report. Our segment with Greg each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Don't forget Coffee Crossing locations that have a drive-thru still open for you to stop by daily for your favorite coffee or blended drink from Coffee Crossing locations. Also with Greg, you know, we've covered so many different things. We've had some fun the last couple weeks getting off the beating path a little bit. But I'm curious, Greg's thoughts on the G League and this new program they're putting together for top-level high school players. Curious what he thinks about that. We've talked some about NCAA infractions and enforcement. He had a column in the paper over the weekend, in fact, his final column before the furlough about that subject, so we'll cover some of that as well. And we'll talk about the state and city of Indianapolis, where Greg is located, something I wanted to bring up, get into politics, believe it or not, for just a minute about the handling of the pandemic and the coronavirus situation. And I know Greg shares my thoughts on this, so we'll talk some about that coming up as well. Also, later in the program, it's Tuesday, so we have Mike Pegram of Pigs.com. Mike's the original guy out there producing IU content on the web, and he joins us to talk a little IU basketball, a little IU football as well on today's show. That's a look at the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, if you go to Honey Baked Ham in New Albany and you spend $15 or more, you are eligible to buy a large bone-in ham at an unbelievable discount of 50% off. Again, you spend $15 or more, you get 50% off of a large bone-in ham if you want to add that to your purchase. It's an unbelievable deal at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Okay, let's interact, tell you how you can interact with the show. Love to hear from you. Love to get your questions, your comments. Perhaps it'll get used on the air today. You can follow me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. And you can leave me a message there. You can tweet me, send me a direct message. Love to get your question or comment for Greg Doyle or for Mike Pegram. I think if I had to say the most interactive segment we have, and I know I don't always do a good job getting them on the air. I'm trying to do better with that. I would say it's probably the Greg Doyle segment. We seem to get a lot of feedback. Some of it I can't read on the air, but positives, negatives, questions, comments. Sometime I can tell you must be listening to the podcast because I get your thoughts after the segment is over with or later that day, later that evening, sometime even the next day. But love to hear from you. And again, follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills as well. And we have a Facebook page. You can like that page. You can follow the show there. We post all of our podcasts there as well. So plenty of ways for you to join us. We're also going to start doing a question of the week on Monday, Tuesday, starting next week. We'll have a kind of a question, get your input, and something that we'll update you on the progress of the poll if you vote on our Twitter account as the week goes on. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's. Don't forget about Zaxby's when you're thinking about food options during the pandemic. The drive-thru's still open, that great Zaxby's chicken, the salads, and many other options as well. And leading off our headlines today, no surprise here, but Demezie Anderson, and I'm pulling for Demezie Anderson. He's a guy from our state. He's a guy that had a terrific high school career at South Bend Riley. He is now officially part of the Loyola men's basketball program in Chicago. A release came out yesterday from the school. The quote from Porter Mosier, who is the coach of Loyola that we kind of got to know, at least if you follow college basketball, you got to see him in that unbelievable run to the Final Four. He said, quote, "We are really excited to add Demezie to the Loyola family. He is a long and athletic guard who has a big-time ability to make shots. We have had a good track record of transfers coming into our program and flourishing, and Demezie has the ability to join that list of success stories." I think it's a good fit. You never quite know until things happen. And, of course, without the one-time transfer waiver that we all thought might get passed, might get approved, you might have been able to find out next season about Demezie. But instead, he will have to sit out a year before he can officially join the games at Loyola Chicago. Today on the Big Ten Network, it's an IU takeover of the Big Ten Network. It all started this morning at 6 a.m. It goes until tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., so 24 consecutive hours of programs, lots of games. And it's not just men's basketball, but I understand it's going to be games across a number of sports, men's and women's basketball, football, men's soccer, baseball, men's and women's swimming, and diving as well. Also, this is what I'm going to be interested in. I struggle watching old games. It has to be a really good game, like the Kentucky-Duke game from the NCAA tournament back in the 90s. That's one of my favorite all-time games. There's a couple IU games I could pick out that I can watch occasionally. It's hard for me to go back and watch old games, especially when I know the result. So with that said, I'm not big on some of the all-time games that they'll air today or that they are in the process of airing, but there is a documentary that's going to air today that's called Worth the Wait, and it chronicles IU men's soccer and their overtime win. It was 8 overtimes in 1982 over Duke to win the program's first NCAA men's soccer championship. And the film is, I think, basically about that, but it also takes a look at Jerry Yeagley, the longtime coach there, the unbelievable success he's had. He essentially has taken the program, the men's soccer program, from intramurals. Doesn't count just for fun, just for physical fitness, for, you know, the tuition-paying students at IU, to a national championship-caliber program. And a program that obviously is nationally ranked and it seems in the mix every year when it comes to NCAA soccer. So that is at 5 o'clock today, that documentary on IU men's basketball soccer. I think the men's basketball overtime went over Kansas in the Armed Forces Classic from 2016. It's on today. Double overtime win from 2019 over Purdue football. Big Ten championship, championship actual matches, meets for men's and women's swimming and diving and baseball as well. Lots of different stuff on the Big Ten Network today. You might keep that on in the background if you're working from home, because it's basically going to be all IU all day long. Final headline today, we look across the river at the University of Louisville, and it's just amazing what that fan base and what that university has been through with coaches, with drama, with NCAA issues, with legal issues, with negative publicity. It's really just amazing. And it's stuff that it happens, it comes out, it's damning. It's not good for the school, the university, and definitely not for athletics. There have been a wholesale changeover from the athletic director all the way down to the men's basketball coaching staff and others as well. But it's stuff that comes back up because you find out about the allegations or about the findings. Then it takes a long time for the NCAA, which moves about as slow as a government entity, in putting their formal report and their allegations together. But basically yesterday, some very severe stuff comes down. It's going to be really interesting to see if Louisville loses another opportunity, or an opportunity, I should say, in the NCAA tournament. Don't think 2021, pending we have a season, that is, will be a scare, because it takes, again, the NCAA so long to go back and forth in their communication. But Louisville was handed a level one allegation, and it says that improper recruiting offer and subsequent extra benefits to the family of an enrolled student athlete and a recruiting inducement to a prospective student athlete's non-scholastic coach/trainer were provided by certain individuals identified by the NCAA as representatives of the university's athletics interest. It goes on to talk about the affiliation with Adidas and a former assistant coach and a former associate head coach. We all know at this point who those guys are. Also, a level two allegation about recruiting violations by the same two former men's basketball staff members, the assistant coaches. A level two allegation that the institution failed to adequately monitor the recruitment of an incoming high-profile student athlete. And a level two allegation that the former head men's basketball coach, Rick Pitino, did not satisfy his head coach responsibility when he failed to promote an atmosphere of compliance. And of course, making this even more interesting, not just from a U of L perspective, but Rick Pitino, after a handful of years out of the college game, just recently hired at Iona. He really hasn't been able to do a whole bunch outside of recruiting virtually by the phone, by FaceTime, because of the pandemic. But getting a level two allegation, a lot of people are writing and thinking that he could be suspended for 30% to 50% of the season. Now, this may not affect the 2021 college season coming up, because again, the NCAA in its communications, in its back and forths, in appeals that can be filed, in arguments that can be made by the schools and others, it's awful slow. So it could be something that happens the following year. But can you imagine if it does happen this year? You hire a guy, you're excited about a legendary coach like Rick Pitino. He's on the move recruiting, making some big headway there, even when he can't get on campus and even can't show the campus. But yet you could lose him his first or second year for up to, some people think, 50% of the regular season games. Others surprised Pitino did not get handed a level one violation himself. I've seen it said that maybe some of the assistants could be handed show causes, which would keep them out of the game for a set period of time. A lot of things with this announcement, these allegations, this notice that came to U of L yesterday that will play out here in the coming weeks and months and maybe even year or so, which is going to be very interesting to see how it is all handled and managed by U of L, and ultimately in penalties, what it means. Louisville's already had to forfeit a championship. Again, it's hurt financially, it's hurt fan base, it's hurt so many things. New athletic department in many regards. It's going to be really interesting to see how this is handled. And, you know, I think people that were against Rick Pitino or thought he was sleazy or thought he cheated or whatever the thought was, you got to feel a little bad because Chris Mack, I guess you could say he knew what he was getting into when he left Xavier, when he accepted the UofL job, but he's inherited a situation where even though these happenings, these violations, these issues precede his time as the men's basketball coach, his program could be affected in some form or fashion. And I guess the worst case scenario would be a ban of a year from the NCAA tournament. That's a look at our headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program, excuse me. Don't forget, in addition to Greg Doyle and Mike Pegram coming up, we also have later in the show another senior spotlight for spring sport athlete in Clark and Floyd County that has lost his senior seasons. It's another new Washington High School standout, Jesus Diaz. He's another multi-sport athlete, baseball and boys track and field. We'll tell you all about Jesus and his great accomplishments on and off the field later in the program today. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. And I do want to tell you that Coffee Crossing, taking a step closer to their normal hours, now open all locations until 8 p.m. each day. Greg, last week you were previewing a column that you were working on about NCAA's new infraction structure and how complicated and really crazy that it is. We talked about it some last week. The column was in the paper, the Indianapolis Star, on Sunday. And then, of course, on Monday, just across the river from us, dominating local storylines during this pandemic with no live sports is the University of Louisville receiving its notice of allegations from the NCAA with some very, very, I think for Louisville folks and Louisville fans, some very, very concerning allegations, level ones and level twos, one level one, multiple level twos. So kind of interesting that that happens right after your column, but definitely some interesting days ahead for University of Louisville men's basketball and the supporters of that program.
Yeah, and kind of by definition, that Louisville NCAA probe will probably go into the independent structure, which is just the worst news possible. From the outside, it sounds like, oh, independent, good. Get us away from the NCAA, and independent people can judge us, and we'll take our chances with them better. I mean, so far we don't really know. Nobody's gone through it yet completely. Memphis is in the middle of it right now. It's so confusing that North Carolina State thinks they're in it and they're wrong. They're not in there yet, but they think they are. It's just crazy. But the reason why is that'll be a bad move if Louisville gets put in there. And you can get put in there without your control. Like, Louisville doesn't have to agree. If the NCAA says, we want you in there, and the referral panel confirms and says, yes, we accept this, you're in. And the reason it's bad is the NCAA has already handed out the notice of allegations. So they've already been investigated once and been told, here's what you did wrong once. Well, if you go into this thing, you get investigated a second time by one of three groups. And one of the groups is known as the Private Eye of Wall Street. The other group is led by a guy that used to work for the IRS in investigations. And the third group is led by the former head of the FBI. So the NCAA has already taken their shot at what they think you did wrong. If you're in the independent structure, and Louisville will be soon because it's just too complex, it just will be. Someone even better, the NCAA is going to take a look. Someone even better is going to look around. And now the punishments are harsher than they ever used to be. So it's scary for a lot of schools, but Louisville right now is in the crosshairs.
I guess I hate this part of it for the fans the most, and maybe the student athletes that are innocent bystanders most times to infractions that are committed, but I'm just amazed how slow the NCAA works. You know, the penalties for Louisville, I guess the worst case scenario for the level one could be maybe a 1 year ban from the tournament. But that could be a season or two down the line because of how slow things operate. It's almost like the government in many ways, if not worse.
Yeah, and it's infuriating. And it's, I mean, to now it's kind of just the way it is. And I'm tempted to throw your hands up and just say, well, what else? I mean, that's just how it goes. It has to be slow. It is complicated, yada, yada. But the problem is, and it really rings home when it's your school, and Louisville's not my school. I mean, I'm not anti-Louisville. They're just, you know, I don't have a school, really. But when it's your school and you realize, wait a minute, we're going to get hit pretty hard here. And Rick Pitino not only doesn't coach here, he's coaching somewhere else. And I can, first of all, let me tell you this, that by the time this is all said and done, Rick Pitino won't be coaching anywhere. He's going to get a show cause out of all, when all this is said and done. But for now, he's got a job. Louisville's about to get hit. Chris Mack wasn't there. All these players were in high school when this stuff was going on. The AD's gone. Not that he did it, but you know, just the guy overseeing the whole program is gone. It's just amazing that the innocent people pay, but there's really no other way around it. It's almost there's no way around it, which just really sucks.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. I wanted to get your take on another subject as well that's making the rounds of off-season college hoops discussion. The G League has announced a new program, almost like a showcase-type team they're creating in Southern California. And they've actually been going after very aggressively some of the top 2020 players, seniors right now, that are getting ready to wrap up their high school careers and get their diplomas soon. And it's been interesting because they have no governing body. They have no rules. And so there have been players that have been long committed and even signed with universities that are saying, yeah, I got a call from the G League last week. They offered me so many hundreds of thousands of dollars to join this new showcase program. They told me some of the other players that they had gotten commitments from to join that program, but I'm either going to stay in college or take that opportunity. For people that really focus in on one and dones, and locally for us, especially here in Southern Indiana, that would be Kentucky and John Calipari, they have new competition that maybe they never expected.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, on the one hand, it's, I guess, whatever's any opportunity for the kids is, that's good for them. It is. But these things are not, this is not in a vacuum. It's not like, you're not graduating from high school and you have an opportunity. If it doesn't work out, you go somewhere else. No, whatever you do will then affect an entire college. In fact, you know, affect an entire fan base will be brought along for the ride. The coaching staff, I mean, the decisions by these 18-year-olds, it's not as simple as, well, they've got the right to do. I mean, they do have the right to do, but to do what they want. But this is not just one person makes one decision and life goes on. No, one person makes one decision and life gets altered for thousands. So in that vein, I don't like this. I don't like that you can be a school, whether it's Kentucky, Louisville, Indiana with Romeo a couple years ago. You can get a player, think you've got a player. You've busted your rear end to earn that player, hopefully cleanly. And then you find out, nah, he's going to go to this G League showcase. And now you've got a hole. Instead of having a great class coming in, you've got a terrible class coming in because you didn't just replace him with somebody. You replaced him with nobody because he's gone. So, and maybe my read of this is maybe the timing of that is not as bad as I'm making it sound. But anyway, I don't like it. I don't like it. There's anything that throws money at students, athletes in high school, I don't like it. I mean, if you're that good, you're going to make your money if you're that good. And if you're not that good, what you don't need is to be dragged out of the college system where you can get free education and then find out you're not that good, but you find out this damn G League showcase, now you're a pro and you can't go back to college, at least not on a scholarship. So I mean, it sounds like it's an interesting idea, and maybe people like it out there, but I'm not one of them.
I mean, they're proposing or saying that they're going to basically create another G League team and build the team with other like high school prospects that are just coming out of graduating from their senior year, and then mix it with some veterans that are going to be paid to kind of help bring these guys along. I guess they would have to know, hey, we're not really the focal point of this team. We're just here to play a little ball, to get paid, and really to be mentors in many ways. And they're not going to play a full schedule. I don't think they're going to have a home base. I think everything's going to be on the road. People have said, well, who are you going to play against? Are you going to play G League teams? Yeah, we're going to play some G League teams, but we're going to play some other academy teams that the NBA has of players from different continents. And, oh, yeah, eventually we're going to have enough of these showcase teams to where they can play each other. Well, that would be a lot of players leaving high school to go get paid some amount of money. Others are going to get obviously more than others. But the immediate reaction to all this was some confusion on exactly what it was. But then a lot of people saying, oh, this is going to terribly affect college basketball if you lose lots and lots of great players. But I'm not so sure that I'm in that camp. I think the rivalries, the tradition, the March Madness, if you miss a handful each year, you miss them. I don't think it's going to change our love, at least here where we're at, our love and interest and the importance placed on the NCAA tournament, especially after the damn thing got canceled and we didn't get to experience for a year. Where do you stand in that, Greg? Is it going to affect college basketball in any big way where the G League will steal some of its thunder?
Well, what you're describing is not just one team being created, but their ultimate goal is to have a whole bunch of these teams with a bunch of players. So their overall goal is they're declaring war on college basketball. That's what the NBA and the G League are doing. They're declaring war on college basketball. It's us or you for all these great players. There's a reason nobody watches the XFL, because the XFL doesn't have the best players. The best players are somewhere else. And that's an overstatement, but still the point remains, if college basketball loses 20, 30 good recruits every year, if the G League plan, you know, takes off, that's terrible. And just speaking selfishly, again, kids have the right, to do what they're going to do. But speaking selfishly, imagine how much poorer we would all be if this thing had actually been in effect last year and we never saw Zion Williamson play for Duke. Because no one's going to watch these G League showcase games. I mean, it's just not going to happen. Nobody cares. They're going to play an academy team. The hardcore hoop junkies might watch that, probably will watch that. But for the most part, we're not watching that. But we're watching Duke on ESPN Monday Night Basketball play St. John's or whoever it is they're playing. So I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Again, I like kids having opportunities. I like money in kids' pockets. But I don't – frankly, I'm on furlough this week, so I'm not working at all. And what you're telling me is the first I've heard of this. I don't even know what you're talking about. But I'm sure you've described it accurately, and so you're getting my complete first reaction to it, which is I think it sucks. I think it's stupid. I hate it.
Yeah, and I don't know how many teams ultimately they hope to form, but obviously they've said multiple teams. So it's going to be real interesting, especially for those top-tier players that have one-and-done aspirations to see which route some of these guys go moving forward. Greg, on a little bit of a lighter note, I think this has come up in past years on this day when you've been with us, but it's Teacher Appreciation Day across the country. And I saw this morning your column rehashed from maybe a year ago when you wrote about a very important teacher in your schooling career. And of course, I think that parents and everyone realized during this pandemic even more so how important teachers are with e-learning taking place at home. A lot of parents have had to really grind in on jumping back into math equations and just the discipline that it takes to go through some of this stuff. So I would say that appreciation this year, it's definitely a little different, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's not a little higher because parents are now taking on some of that load from home.
Yeah, look how hard these people work, these teachers work, the career they choose. They choose to teach, let's say six classes a day, 25 kids per class. That's 150 kids, maybe not 150 different kids, but it's 150 bodies pass through their doors every day. They chose to do that. They chose to do that for not a whole lot of money because they know they're not getting paid much. And they chose to do that knowing that kids are pains in the neck. And I say that as a dad of two. And they know that parents can be a pain in the neck. And I say that as a parent, a helicopter parent myself. So those folks are, there's different levels of heroism. Firefighters rushing into a fire, that's heroic. The people at the hospitals right now, they're just, manning the x-ray machines. They're just x-raying COVID-19 possibilities all day long and putting their lives at risk, literally. That's heroic. Teachers, that's in a different way. That's heroic. They're raising my kids, and I'm real grateful to them every year.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. A couple quick things left. I don't know that we've had time to chat about this the last couple of weeks, but it's been on my list. The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls docuseries on ESPN. What's been your take on that? I have to assume that being the basketball guy you are, that you're probably pretty enthralled by it. But what's been your take so far? Have you watched all of them?
You assume incorrect. I've not watched a second of it. But I do have a take on this, and my take is I'm blown away at how important it is. And I'm crapping on the G League idea, and I think I crapped on something earlier. Oh, just Louisville's in trouble, and I hate how Rick Pitino's got a job, and Chris Mack is right now scared to death. I mean, it just sucks. A lot of things in this world suck. The Last Dance does not suck, and people's affection for it does not suck. What I find just in my little world, the way it affects me is that every night before I go to bed, I tape ESPN SportsCenter. I tape it the last one of the night, and then I watch it in the morning. So I can fast forward the commercials, and that's what I do. So every Monday morning, the Scott Van Pelt show is what I watch on my SportsCenter from the night before. And the first 15 minutes, all the way up until the first commercial, the whole thing's about the Last Dance. You know, they break down the documentary, and they get Jalen Rose and someone else to talk about what they just watched, and they get Michael Wilbon to talk about what it was like back in the day, and they try and find somebody else on TV and interview. I mean, it's amazing that's what we have for sports right now, is the biggest sports story we have is a documentary on ESPN about something that happened 20 years ago. It's just – it's insane, but that's how big they were back then.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. All right, it's pandemic time right now. You're on furlough, so you could always watch The Last Dance in some of your downtime, but I wanted to check in, and I had a couple people remind me of this morning on your we were talking about videos of you and your new punching bag? Is that the correct term for it? Greg, are you there?
I'm sorry, repeat that? The last five words, repeat that.
Last week we were talking about your new punching bag. I said it's pandemic time. Yeah. You could always watch The Last Dance, or some people are still waiting for videos of that.
Yeah, you can wait for a little longer, I guess, on the video. I just feel wrong about that. It doesn't feel right. Right now I'm in South Carolina with my mom.
Okay.
I drove down here to see her, and she's got some medical issues, so I'm here. But it just feels wrong to hit a bag and then post it. You know, that's the kind of thing that 20-year-olds do, and you roll your eyes like, look at that kid hitting the bag and posting a video. I'm going to need a whole lot of people to ask me for it, and they're not, because only you care, I think. But so I'd like to. I'd rather actually just fight somebody, in the ring. You know, I'd rather do that and have video of that, because hitting the bag is kind of taking candy from a baby. Even I can look decent on the bag, and I realize I'm not any good at this sport, but on the bag, you wouldn't know, maybe.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, best wishes to you, your mother. Thanks, as always, for being with us on Tuesdays, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Yeah, Matt. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Don't forget, still open during the pandemic, and now the hours until 8 p.m. each night. Serving your favorite coffee, your favorite drinks at Coffee Crossing, with multiple locations to serve you here in the area. That's our Greg Doyle segment for the week. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk some IU basketball and football with Mike Pegram of Peaks.com in the next segment. And still ahead, we have our senior spotlight. We're going to tell you all about Jesus Diaz of New Washington baseball and track and field, in our senior spotlight for spring sport athletes. That's all ahead on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Peaks.com with us. We'll also have our senior spotlight for a spring sport athlete, Jesus Diaz of New Washington, coming up a little bit later as we close out this Tuesday program. Mike, as always, great to talk with you. Plenty of IU basketball and football stuff to cover today, a lot of it from a recruiting side of things. And I don't even remember, Mike, what prospect it was. It was an out-of-state guy, maybe a younger prospect that Indiana has gotten involved with, but his guardian told someone in a tweet that we just got done with a virtual visit to Indiana with Coach Archie Miller. And we know that during this time where we're in the midst of a pandemic, there are no campus visits allowed, and obviously coaches can't get out and see the players in open gyms or at their homes with family or their high school coaches. Virtual visits, I'm assuming on FaceTime and on Zoom and other ways to communicate digitally, have become the way to go, especially for a player that maybe isn't from Indiana, maybe doesn't get the great facilities that IU has to offer. So I'm envisioning Archie Miller and maybe an assistant coach or two on their iPhone, walking through the facilities, showing off an empty assembly hall, showing off other locker rooms and facilities that would be impressive to young recruits, all virtually now is where this is headed.
Yeah, it's the way, you know, everyone's adapted to this new world, and recruiting is gone to the Zoom calls and showing you the facilities like you're talking about. But thankfully, the technology actually was ready for this kind of shutdown and for things like recruiting. So it's actually, Indiana's done well, picked up the Logan Duncan commitment, even though he did not even make a visit as scheduled because of the shutdown, and they've done really well given the situation.
Mike, it's going to be interesting, and I know this has been said for really jobs and different professions, but when we do come out of this pandemic, and there's a roadmap on how Indiana's trying to do so right now, but when we get further down the line, and this is somewhat in the rearview mirror, it's going to be interesting to see how many people continue to work at home because they realize that they could, and they could still be successful and accomplish a lot. And it's going to be interesting to see how this changes recruiting. I'm not sure it'll have a drastic effect. I'm not sure that anything can replace the head coach sitting down with mom and dad and the high school coach and, of course, the recruit themselves and explaining their vision and plan for that specific player over the next 4 years or so. But there are some things that I think will keep with us. These coaches will keep with them. And I think even Archie Miller mentioned that in a podcast on your guys' website, that there will be some things out of this that kind of become a new normal for college basketball, specifically recruiting.
Yeah, I think video calls will stay even if we have a vaccine in two weeks. I think that's just going to be something coaches and players will appreciate, the, you know, the ability to see as well as to listen to what a coach or prospects is saying to you. And I think you'll see that stay with us no matter what happens.
Talking with Mike Pegram. Mike, I want to head to our social media for a question. And this is a tough one. I've wondered this as well. I saw the new ESPN, I think it was top 60, come out in the 2021 class. And this thought went through my mind as well. The question is, Caleb First is ranked ahead of Trey Kaufman in most every ranking of players, whether it's state or national rankings out there. What separates the two? What are these recruiting analysts and guys ranking players seeing that puts First maybe higher as a prospect above Kaufman?
Well, I think he's just a little bit bigger and stronger, Matt. He's got bigger shoulders. He's a little bit taller. And, you know, just improved quite a bit actually the last year, but I think it's more of a physical issue right now. Height and strength is primarily.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Peaks.com. From a recruiting standpoint for Indiana, I think it's safe to say that Trey Kaufman is right there at the top of the list as far as 2021 players go. People expect and know that Indiana is tracking him, and Trey has said that he's had basically daily calls and video FaceTime sessions with coaches from the IU program. Outside of Trey, anyone else, whether it's 2021 or even younger, that you feel is maybe trending up on IU's radar right now?
I'm not going to say that they're trending up significantly, but they're really pushing hard with Amino Muhammad, a really talented top 50 player that's not been in Missouri, but is really from the Washington, D.C. area, played for the same Boo Williams AAU program that has sent Indiana three different players in the past. You know, and you can't forget about Trey Patterson from out that way as well in the Philadelphia general area. But New Jersey, actually. And I don't know that anybody else is emerged as a super hot burner. I think things have actually progressed a little bit for Indiana with Blake Wesley from South Bend to get them kind of back in the mix. But Trey Kaufman is really by far the most far along process and most, you know, nearby kid that makes it a more of a possibility than some of these other players.
Mike, also want to talk some football with you today. Obviously, the talk about college football in that season is something that's dominating a lot of the landscape right now. It's interesting, and we talked some about this last week, but it's interesting to see Purdue has said pretty much that they are going to try to find a way to come back in the fall. I saw that Kentucky had a very similar stance as well, and some other schools are putting it out there that unless there's a major reason not to, we're going to try to get back to some normalcy in the fall, obviously practicing social distancing standards. Indiana last week, President McRobbie with a letter that was pretty open that it was going to be probably tough to do that, and he went on to lay out a number of different options of what school, college in Bloomington could look like if regular classes on a daily basis, as we've known it, are not possible in the fall. And I know you don't have an answer here. It's more of just a thought. What happens when some schools are back in normal, some schools are off campus virtually, or a mix of virtual with maybe, you know, classes every other day? It could be crazy as far as what do you do then with sports if you're not back on campus full time and maybe virtual only, where other schools are back on campus and going about classes and athletics as normal?
Yeah, I think you'll see a hybrid of the two where you have a lot more students doing online, but you will have students in back on campus here in the fall and some going to classes, but with social distancing and instituted. I think with sports, it'll be decided by the conferences and the NCAA. It won't be decided by IU or Purdue by themselves. They'll defer to the Big Ten or what the NCAA eventually decides. But I do think as far as school, it'll be a hybrid of a lot more online learning, but I think you will have students back on campus for the majority of them. But with a lot of things going on to help protect people.
Mike, IU football gained a player, a recruit over the weekend, but also lost a notable in-state recruit from Elkhart at Rodney McGraw. That's a tough loss from everything I've read for Indiana football to see him leave for Penn State.
Yeah, it was more of a function of what happened since his commitment, and that was that Mark Hagan, the defensive line coach, left for University of Texas, and they lost the strength conditioning guys, David Ballou and Dr. Ray, to Alabama. You know, Texas and Alabama are huge schools and have unlimited dollars to apply. And so Indiana lost a couple of their better people, but and that was kind of a way for Penn State to move in on this talented young player. But Indiana can continue to recruit pretty well because they have a lot to sell now with the big season they just had, and they have pulled in some recruits, including a really fast running back here in the last few days.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. He joins us Tuesdays as we talk IU basketball, football, and more. As always, Mike, thank you for the chat. Stay safe, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, look forward to it. Thank you.
We will wrap up the show today with our senior spotlight on a spring sport athlete here in Clark and Floyd counties. We continue on recognizing standouts and maybe just members of the team. Those have put in a lot of time to their sport and to their academics over the year. Then you don't get this final go around to be with your teammates and represent your high school in spring sports. And today we go back to New Washington High School to recognize another great Mustang. It's Jesus Diaz, again, of New Washington, multi-sport athlete even in the spring, baseball and track and field. He juggles those at the same time for the Mustangs, and he's got a long list of athletic accomplishments. He was part of the 2016 Regional Championship boys basketball team at New Washington. He's a three-time regional qualifier in boys cross country, all-conference one-time cross country as well, two-time all-conference for basketball, two-time all-sectional team for basketball as well. So Jesus not only doing two sports in the spring, but also boys basketball at New Washington as well. Very good in the classroom, A and B honor roll student for three consecutive years. He's had outstanding attendance. He's been recognized for that three consecutive years. Also is graduating later this year with an associate's degree already from Ivy Tech Community College. That's through the Greater Clark County Schools program with Ivy Tech. He's a member of the National Honor Society, and he's a recipient of the Work Ethic Certificate as well. As far as away from sports and school, Jesus just enjoys hanging out with friends and enjoying life. He wanted to thank all of his sports coaches, especially basketball, because it helped shape who I am today, is what Jesus wrote to us. Jesus Diaz is the son of Francisco Diaz and Leonidas Lopez, and he's going to attend college, work on a bachelor's degree in marketing at IU Southeast. So Jesus Diaz, another great local athlete, very active, basketball in the winter, baseball, track and field in the spring. And Jesus, we're so sorry that you lose not just one, but two sports seasons to conclude your high school career. We appreciate all the work that you've put in over the years, and we wish you the very best as you move on to be a student at IU Southeast in the fall. Again, Jesus Diaz of New Washington, our spring sport athlete that we're focusing on today. Our hats off to Jesus on a great career. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday program. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll return on Wednesday with a lot more. And don't forget, if you miss us live, you can catch the podcast at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. You can also find us on Apple Podcast as well. Have a great day. Back with you Wednesday. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, Josh Cook of the News and Tribune, and more coming your way. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Thank you, seniors, for the memories, and thanks all of our Senior Spotlight sponsors, Republic Bank, Allen Electrical, and UPSJobs.com/Louisville.